been said. However, I hope you're listening. The point is that high-tech, low-tech, urban, rural, we are all opposed to this bill. Please do not pass this on to another committee. It's my understanding that you are our elected representatives. You're supposed to represent us. Please do what we want. And I'm sorry if I'm being too much forthright, but it's hard not to be emotional. This affects me personally. It affects all these other people personally. Please do not pass this on to another committee. You are the ones that own the health, education, social services. It's up to you. We don't even have a commissioner of education yet. How could you possibly make these decisions? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be obnoxious, but I'm upset. Please don't pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Okay, we've gone through, I think we've gone through everybody except the people that are in this room. Oh, we have more?
Well, this person's in the room.
Okay. If there is anyone in the room that has something more to add that hasn't been already said, I would like to hear from you. Go ahead. Alexander, is it?
Alexander Delitsky.
I represent myself. I'm on my annual leave. And I'm a social studies teacher at Alyeska Center School. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I thank you for this opportunity. I've been employed with ACS since 1988 for 3 years as a summer school teacher and then for 12 years as a permanent full-time employee. When I was hired in 1990, our enrollment was 800 students. And over the years, it's fluctuated between 800 to 1,100, depends. In 1992, as I recall, or 1993, when other corresponding schools emerged, you know, our enrollment decreased due to the some students, wonderful students whom I knew and whom I took to Washington, D.C. for national close-up, Matthew Pennington, for example, they went to Idea School. Our students and parents at ACS, they're well aware of other programs, and those who felt that Idea School or a cyber school is better format for them, they already left. At this point, when I was just to respond to the information that was given by department today, our enrollment fluctuates as it fluctuates in any other school. Another comment I want to make, the teachers in school, you know, in our school, we are not only writing curriculum, of course we do. We grade lessons and we provide comments and commentaries. I write letters. I grade up to 30-35, you know, lessons a week, and they could be different. If I identify the problem, like with a Ruby a bull child in my world geography class, that she has a difficulties with the video responses, she called me another day and we talk about it. And I found that answer keys, okay, apparently were not exactly accurate, and we discussed that issue. So it's not only, you know, just calling occasionally and calling to somebody, it's calling to the expert, you know, who can provide information, and we write very letters with a substance. So for 3 years, I taught Russian language and at ACS, and several of my students, by the way, they then majored in the Russian studies program. Now, regarding the cost is not only how much it costs per student. I'm under contract for 230 working days a year, and I'm a senior teacher. Those who are not a senior, they're under contract for longer days. They have only 14 days vacation. Our school is open 12 months a year, with and without summer school. Summer school is additional. We hire 30 additional teachers. And when they're not done with their work, it's us, you know, who grade those lessons. I graded 600 lessons last year, summer school, in addition to my own work. It's a $15,000 savings. You know, my contract is 230 days versus to 186 days for any other teacher, whether correspondence or not, in school. I work longer hours for the same pay. And that should be considered as a cost. And that's a new information you ask. Now, regarding the demographics, yes, 84% of our, I will summarize, you know, you want new information, I want to provide. 84% of our students in the urban area, but that's consistent with the demographics in the state of Alaska. 16% of Alaskans live in the rural areas. You know, 50% of our students is in Anchorage, and I provided this information. And consistent with the demographics of Alaska, we are not different. I selected 8 districts where you represent, you know, or in the subcommittee, and I provided this information another time, and I have this, you know, if you want to look again. You know, it's basically we have 459 students that are in ACS that are, you know, from Anchorage area, and nearly 440 students from all districts you represent besides Anchorage and subcommittee. So the proportion, you know, here is very adequate. This is a new information. But to summarize, I want to say this, is that almost anybody could be a good teacher for a week. Not everybody could be a good teacher for 25 consecutive years. Almost every school has a success story, but not every school has a success story for 60 consecutive years. Don't dismantle something that, you know, can be replaced very easily, or something that is very hypothetical. Regarding the cyber school, I don't want my daughter and my students to read the Shakespeare from a hard cover. I want to read them Shakespeare from a hard drive, from the book. There is authenticity in certain education. We do not know what the future will be with other programs. We know that the Phoenix program become popular, then it vanished. We know some charter schools appear, and then they vanished. We have a consistent record. You know, it's a school with experience, with the teachers, you know, that I'm a teacher with a degree in the Kiev Pedagogical Institute, master degree in Brown University, and PhD from Bryn Mawr College. You know, so the Alyeska should be proud of the caliber of teachers and students, you know, that what we have. And I would be happy to answer your questions. Hopefully I provided new information that never, that haven't been heard in this testimony. Any questions?
Representative Sitter. Thank you, Madam Chair. As I said before, I have been through this situation, and when over 20 years ago, it was a great program. I was helped to create programs for a kid who was told by the school, Capital School, did not want him back. They would not pass him on. But what I've seen in the letters that I've read,
right,
is a program that's changed and has things that I've never heard of, like classes online.
Well, we have 19 courses online that's been written just recently. I'm not the one who teaches course online. I know it's a world history, and I believe American government is written online. I wrote 3 courses recently: world history, world geography. That's Ruby Bullchild just taken it. It's a new course, and revised U.S. history courses. So we have a variety of courses. We update them all the time, you know, according to the, new information and something like that. Yes, we do know our students. You know, I never met the student, but I was on the phone for some time, and sometimes I meet our students when we test them, when I go to Anchorage or other places, you know, like a Homer, for example, or when I take students to National Closer. We got to know them very well. Some of my students, you know, they were winners for 3 years on Alaska History Day. And one student, Emmy Wenshan from Haines, became the 4th place in the nation. I sent her to the Maryland University of College Park, and myself, I got an award for that.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Madam Chairman. I see
Representative Capson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I see that you're a published author. Few schools can boast of having published authors as teachers. How many other teachers at Alyeska have published books?
Well, I published 8. I don't know how many other publish. I know that Rick Curer, he published several articles, you know, in various newspapers. I know that John Patton, you know, he occasionally writes. He can speak for himself. That we have remarkably qualified staff. You know, and many of us, and I have experience in conventional schools as well. I taught in a college for 14 years in University of Alaska Southeast, and in a school district for 2 years, plus my experience in European countries.
I would like to recess right now, and I guess I'm going to recess to the call of the chair. There's not enough members here. I don't know where they're at, but I'm going to go.
Thank you.
Let's bring the meeting back to order. Was there anyone else that had anything new to add? as testimony. Okay, you can come forward. Okay, state your name.
My name is Cecilia Miller, and I'm a math and technology teacher at ACS. And today I'm here to represent our education association. And I had some topics I wanted to talk about, but I feel really the need to talk to you as a teacher, and especially, hopefully, those of you that have been teachers before. I think it's really hard to think about a program and understand what we do. I have to admit, I grew up in Anchorage, lifelong resident, had never heard of Alyeska. My sister actually took a course to graduate early. I don't know where she got a course from now. I came down originally to work for the summer school program. I teach math, and I have the same thoughts that you do. How can you teach math by correspondence? And I thought, wow. And quickly I learned in our summer program that we have really at-risk kids. And having an ability to call someone and help them right there with the problem that they have is critical. I never could have guessed I taught math, could teach math on the phone. I'm actually really good at it. I drive my colleagues nuts. Mm-hmm. Get off the phone to start helping kids. I think, can anybody do that? And that's an excellent question. And I guess my best example would be the courses I teach. I teach a huge range. I teach business and consumer math. I teach geometry, which you've heard some about. I teach pre-calculus. I teach now advanced algebra, both online and in print-based. And some of my courses have been developed by me. The main one I have ownership of is geometry. That course has had lots of versions. We bought it originally from the University of Nebraska. It was a hard course. Students that you hear that are alumni of us that got that course, they are brilliant. It's a hard course. It's totally formal geometry. Then Nebraska went to an easier course, I guess, or a less formalized approach. Lots of our students did better. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, we went into a new math series, and the chair might be familiar with it. It happens to be University of Chicago. It's used in Petersburg. It's a very strong program that works for correspondence students. It's set up for a kid to read the materials, then go through exercises. I can help my students on a drop of a hat. Something that I know is going to confuse them, I can explain easily. On the other end, I have business and consumer math, and I'll use that. That's one of my more recent teaching assignments. It's from University of Nebraska. I don't know every nuance of that curriculum. A student calls me, and I have to spend time making sure I understand how it was presented to them. I don't think you can put any math teacher in that role. It's a tough job, especially when you're working at a distance. Ruby Bullchild, who you heard from, is one of my students. I've worked on the phone with her many times. One of the things I wish I would have heard her talk of, which would have made me proud as our seventh grade teacher, is percent increase. But most of my students have a hard time with that concept, so she didn't give that to you. Be happy to answer questions. I know it's a different situation. It's a different program. You may not even, you're getting familiar with it, and I understand you have questions about it.
Well, I do want to say that whatever this ends up, I'm going to make sure that the other correspondence schools are held more accountable than they are. That is something that I can see maybe needs to be improved.
And sure, I would say that it's not our school's position to say whether other schools are accountable. And if they're meeting students' needs, then I'm glad that they're being able to meet those needs. Not every kid learns the same way. And so we need different ways to help kids.
Okay. Representative Adam.
What kind of questions are asked on the phone? I mean, is it addition or is it geometry?
Oh, I'd be happy to. I'll tell you about the one I did yesterday. This is a student from Barrow, and she's doing a project.
A long.
I can make. Did I look like I got comfortable?
Sure, you got way too comfortable.
It was absolutely scary.
Sorry. She's actually been trying to reach me, and I'd like to say that I'm on the phone. I'm there, you know, the minute they call. I have lots of responsibilities. I evaluate student work. That takes the majority of my time. I hopefully develop curriculum when we have extra funds. Sorry. Her question was about a project in advanced algebra, and it was a discussion of logarithms. It's not, and reading the table of logs, which all of us hopefully have the opportunity to learn, and explaining how that works and the whole process. It depends on the student.
Use the Richter scale by any chance?
No. I had to dig out an old table of logs to give her, though, so it was kind of interesting.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Kevin Sweeney, I'd like you to come up and just kind of sum up everything now heard a lot, so you've heard, can respond to some of these things. So.
Well, for the record, I'm Kevin Sweeney. I'm legislative liaison for the Department of Education and Early Development. I guess mainly the things we've heard today are two major points. The first point that most people have made is that is a money issue. A lot of people have argued that that this won't save money. In fact, it'll cost the state money. What we would say to that is we believe that most of the students that are currently enrolled in ACS would, if ACS was not an option, would enroll in another correspondence school. And I actually believe some of the testimony that we heard today sort of supports our claim. A lot of these students have said that they tried their local public school, it didn't work for them, it wasn't really the kind of education they were looking for, and they do better in a correspondence type program. So we would suggest, and our feeling is that most of these kids would go into other correspondence schools, which costs the same amount to the state as these programs, as ACS does. There is a significant savings in the elimination of summer school. ACS is the only funded summer school in the state. It's at a tune of, for last year, $1.2 million. In addition, there are significant facility savings on the leases that we have for ACS at a tune of about $370,000 a year. And again, even if some of these students do not go into another correspondence school, as you've heard, a majority of them are not in that $10,000 a year cost. A majority of them are in the urban centers where your ADM is maybe $4,200, something like that. So it's not, I think that when you hear the $3,200 to $10,000, that's the extreme. That's not going to be the norm. The second thing that most people have argued is the curriculum. There's question as to whether the other correspondence schools offer the same curriculum that is offered at ACS. What we are trying to do, our plan in an exit for ACS, if this bill is pushed through, our plan is to gather up all the curriculum that is currently being offered at ACS and to take that curriculum and make it available to all the other districts, put it on in our libraries so that other districts can use that curriculum. We want to work with those other districts to make sure that they're offering these types of curriculum. We've heard from other districts that have said that offer these correspondence programs that said that they would do that. They've said that they would adapt to the students' needs. And so it's kind of hard at this point to be able to compare when somebody's calling right now to other correspondence schools as to what's going to happen when ACS isn't around. These other correspondence schools are really in competition for students, and you can see that in the enrollment compared to ACS and the enrollment of programs like IDEA out of Galena. While ACS has, maybe it's been fluctuating, we believe it's been fluctuating on the decline, whereas Galena and other correspondence programs have been growing. So what we think it's time to do is for a policy decision for the state to get out of a centralized correspondence program run through the state to offer our assistance to these other districts which have seen their correspondence programs grow, and to offer them the curriculum that we've had developed in our statewide correspondence program, get it out to them and meet the students' needs that way.
Representative Katzman?
It doesn't seem to make sense to me, Kevin, because if you have a program that's growing, why cut the rug out from under them?
It's not going to.
We're not asking through the chair. We're not asking these other programs to change what they're doing now. The other programs have said that what they'll do is grow the curriculum they offer to be able to not only meet the students that they've got now, and some of them are 3,500, 3,600, but to also meet the needs of the students that are coming in. So we're not asking them to do a wholesale change. We're asking them, and they've told us they have an interest in making sure that they help develop the type of program that the students who would have chosen ACS would find at their correspondence programs as well.
I guess I just don't understand the logic.
Kapsner, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess, I mean, if you compared this to private business, that's what Republicans like to do. It's like closing down the most popular store in town because other startups aren't getting their business. And do you see what I'm saying? I mean, the most popular store in town or the most popular school in town is the most popular for a reason. So why close that one down for the benefit of of places that aren't doing as well.
Representative Kapsner, I think that if it was the most popular one in the state, it would be have the most clients or whatever you want to say, and it doesn't, so. Do you have anything else, Representative?
No, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Representative Sidney?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I guess my question would be, what happens to the students that we heard from who this year really depend upon this program going through because of the accreditation? If I understand correctly, it's the only accredited correspondence program. And if that's the case, and they really depend on a diploma next year, I think, I mean, what do we just say, sorry, you're not going to get through school?
Through the chair, I would imagine, and Eddie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that if they were to transfer to Galena, whether they have a accreditation in process, that if they were to graduate last year, since they've been given a temporary accreditation, that they would in fact graduate from an accredited school. I would also suggest that if accreditation were something that were extremely important to them, they always have the option of going back to their local district to finish their last year out in accredited program.
In some cases, we heard that very, very poignantly that it was totally impossible. Somebody's recovering from some operation. I mean, these kids aren't in school for a really good reason. Believe me, it's not something you casually do.
Representative Seaton?
Yeah, thank you. How many of the schools that are doing correspondence that we have here are just computer based? That are all that are internet based, and how many of them are as well mail U.S. mail based?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head, Eddie.
The only one 100% computer based is Delta Greeley. All of theirs is cyber over the internet.
Okay.
Of the 11.
Of the 11.
Are there any others that have the mail?
Representative Kapsner?
Thank you. Are there any others that have the mail system? Is that...
Representative Gatto?
Thank you, Madam Chair. How many kids get books to read? Real paper books? Alyeska does? Yes?
And
Nanana, I'm sorry, Nanana, keep saying Galena does or does not.
We can find out exactly what the.
You know, if the other schools get actual hard paper books.
My understanding that the other programs are parents, families are provided a stipend, and with that stipend, they can use that stipend for educational materials or educational opportunities, learning experiences.
Okay.
That support
their child's education. It's their choice.
But they purchase those materials from private vendors and maybe limited inventory.
Would you state your name, please?
Oh, I'm Debbie Chalmers. I'm a teacher.
Okay. So actually, Madam Chair, that's very interesting to me. They actually, in the other places, have a choice. Does ACS have a choice in the materials?
Yes.
Same choice? Well, we might want to hear from you.
Representative C.
Yeah, when Delta Greeley testified, they said that they could take, I believe it was 200 students, but that they only service really college prep and or those that are advanced placement students, or that that would be the additional people they could take. Do we have any effectiveness rating, shall I say, on these correspondence schools for those students that are not in those upper echelon groups, that are in the at-risk groups or the special needs groups?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand the question.
I'm trying to get a comparison on these between the different correspondence schools. I mean, I know that correspondence schools aren't equivalent, and I'm concerned. I mean, I had testimony from people in my area that were special needs students, that autistic, that had tried several of these correspondence schools, and they were not able to function there well, and that they were able to function with Alyeska. And I'm trying to figure out if there's any kind of a DOE rating of how the correspondence schools that were saying, well, there's 11 choices out here, how their level of service is for those non-exceptional, non-bright, special needs students.
Through the chair, I understand your question. I don't know if we've ever done a rating system, and if we had, I don't think we've even ever rated ACS in their ability to do that type of thing. That would just be something that I'd have to, look into the other correspondence programs to see, what they have available for those type of students, and then also what type of availability there is within their district for district-run correspondence programs. When we talk about 11 statewide correspondence programs, there's also district-run programs that only serve the students in their districts. So that when we really can't limit their choices to just the 11, because a lot of people live in districts that also have a district-run correspondence program. And for instance, in Kenai, I think in the last 4 or 5 years, they've gone from less than 100 people up to about 400 people in that type of program.
Representative
Keaton?
some of the people in this state actually use correspondence schools out of this state. So I mean, they're all over. So they varied greatly, and it's kind of like a cafeteria. People just pick out the one that they happen to like best, and I don't know what the total number is across the state who are in correspondence. But it's a huge number of kids that are in correspondence and in correspondence schools.
Madam Chair, I guess the reason I brought it up is because I received a number of letters, and we received testimony from a number of students that were really in the special needs category, whether it was autism or whether they needed to be in school year round so that they didn't fall back so far. And it's kind of being compared to apples and apples, and yet we've received a lot of testimony that it's not apples and apples, it's apples and oranges. So I'm just trying to get a handle on those kids that are at risk, that are having to go through here. Is there something special about this program, which is a testimony received, but I'm just trying to find out if there's any empirical data for that. Thank you.
I would like to add something, Representative Seaton. Thank you. One thing you had said is that you had received some testimony from Delta Greeley that said they were prepared to maybe absorb about 200 students. I believe full-time enrollment at ACS is approaching 700. It's a little less than 700, 670, something like that. We did see in a Juneau Empire article that Galena said they can absorb 1,000 to 1,500 more students, and that they also are ready to develop a program that has a similar amount of teacher involvement to accommodate the students. And I'll leave this with the committee. And also on curriculum development, we do have a consortium of school districts through Alaska Online with the Matsu, Kenai, Delta Greeley that are in the process of currently developing their own curriculum. And Alyeska is also part of that. And with Alyeska, with the closure of Alyeska, the Alaska Online Consortium, we have no way we're going to eliminate that. It'll roll into the three districts, and maybe others will join on. But they have been in the process of developing curriculum and will continue to develop curriculum, which is focused just on the idea of correspondence study. So I don't think it's really safe to say that ACS sort of holds the market in the corner on developing the curriculum. There are other districts that are doing it as well.
Representative Coghill.
I was just going to say, Madam Chair, that there was one person here who got left out testifying. I saw him waving his hand frantically before you.
Okay.
So just in case you're going to shut down testimony, I want
to have a couple minutes to talk about some No Child Left Behind and some different things.
Okay. Okay, but we don't need to talk about Child and No Child Left Behind. We're talking about this bill?
Yes.
Okay.
It's relevant. It's very relevant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. One over there. State your name and your affiliation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is John Alcantara. I'm the Government Relations Director for NEA Alaska. I worked down here in the legislature for 8 years before, so I'm kind of a little akin to sitting here and testifying on bills. I know you're not here to hear a briefing on No Child Left Behind, or that would take a few hours, but I do want to point out to the members of the committee, and all of you are present, I appreciate that, is that Alyeska Central School has a faculty in place in the core content areas that are already highly qualified in the No Child Left Behind. Another piece that hasn't been mentioned by a lot of the eloquent testimony by parents, teachers, and students is that Alyeska Central School could provide supplemental services in a No Child Left Behind that other correspondence programs cannot provide. Alyeska Central School can provide high school programs for teachers' aides and our educational support professionals that will have to meet the qualifications of President Bush's No Child Left Behind need to find a way to get that education. Some have to complete their high school diplomas. Some have to move on after that and complete 60 degrees of college courses in order to keep their job as an education support professional.
So are you saying that none of the other ones would be able to do that?
None of the other ones can do that. Their correspondents cannot provide the supplemental services, and they cannot provide a system in place that could actually raise money to provide a program for the folks that need to get qualified in No Child Left Behind.
And is that because they're of the accreditation?
Because of accreditation, it's because of a school that's been in place for 64 years versus schools that have been in place for 5 or 6, and they haven't gotten there.
But they could if they. I mean, is it? Are you saying? I mean, I just guess I want to get it clear. You're saying that the other schools can't do it, but Alyeska can.
At this point, that's what I'm saying, Madam Chair. Correct. And if I could just finish up, I think one of the things to point out, and it hasn't been pointed out before, but you know, Alyeska Central School has existed before statehood. It's existed before I was born here in the state. It's existed before oil pipelines. It existed before the first Alaska legislature. I think the testimony you've heard today, the overwhelming testimony, would suggest that it needs to exist long after the 23rd Alaska legislature. And I think you need to really consider holding this bill, making sure this bill doesn't move on, because it's a bill that, from the overwhelming testimony, hasn't been thought through all the way through yet, and certainly needs time to be dissected, digested, and maybe come up with a plan that is not maybe a little bit of a rush to judgment, and it's something that's not going to it's not going to get them where they want to be as far as cost savings. I know you don't want to hear about cost savings, but I had to put that part in there. Thank you.
What about is there an eight? I mean, like most schools after 21, they don't go to school. Can they? Doesn't matter what age it is for Alyeska.
Under a program that would be created for program providers, I'm not sure the answer to that.
I guess what I'm saying is, so it's a program that will be provide or is going to be created. Is that what you're saying? Could you state your name for the record?
My name is Cecilia Miller.
Okay.
The statute says that we serve any Alaskan, and through our tuition program, we're able to serve adults who want to come back and get their high school diploma.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Cecilia.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure you had to say. I didn't agree with it, but
through the chair to Representative Cogwell, I very much appreciate that, and thank you for giving me the time. And you know, I know it's late, and you guys have other important pressing matters, but I think this one is critical.
Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Number of teachers that will no longer be employed if we dissolve at Alyeska Correspondence School.
Through the chair to Representative Gatto, I believe the number of positions at Alyeska Central School is 26.
Those are certified teachers?
Yes, sir.
Is there a demand right now for those teachers to work somewhere else?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I would not know the answer to that. I know this isn't a discussion about base student allocation, about what other school districts are doing as far as furloughing, laying off teachers. So I really, the session continues over the next 55 days, I'm sure we'll have time to talk about how many teachers are on the hot seat, so to speak. And I don't know the answer to your question specifically, if there's a demand for the 26 teachers at ACS.
The teachers are currently under contract, though, aren't they, for the FY04 in the public schools? And
through the chair, Representative Gatto, that's correct. The teachers that are under contract, whether it be a 186-day contract, as mentioned earlier, or a 230-plus-day contract through Alyeska Central School, are under contract at this time through the end of this school year, which is ending in some places about the same time you'll be ending your legislative session.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for the time.
Did you have something new to add?
Yes.
Come forward if you do. If you have something new to add. State your name and your affiliation.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Debbie Chalmers, and I teach 5th and 6th grade at Alyeska Central School. I wanted to simply address my perspective as a teacher, as an educator. And I feel that what we have to offer, and I've been with Alyeska Central School since 1992, and frankly didn't understand the program till, didn't know the program existed till the day I walked through the door, and had been teaching in Alaska since 1980. But since I've been at Alyeska Central School, I've gained a great deal as a professional and as an educator. I worked in learning how to work directly with parents and including the parents. And, you know, I've heard since I've started teaching in 1976 about this school-homeschool partnership. I don't think I've ever seen that homeschool partnership more actively engaged than through our program. Because that is what we do, and that's what we do well. We work directly with students. We also work directly with our parents. I've been professionally active in a variety of professional organizations and really value remaining current. And our curriculum is not stagnant. I'd say if these curriculums are distributed to other programs across the state and other districts, classroom teachers may value them in the bush communities and in village communities where there isn't continuity of services. However, most classroom teachers, myself included, would not use print-based lesson plans to teach. It's kind of like using the same lesson plan book every year, which I don't like to do either. I update my curriculum continually. I integrate a variety of supplemental materials with my teaching. I provide online opportunities for students through JASON Project, which is a science-oriented curriculum, National Geographic Experiential Adventures and Online Quests, as they're learning about their world around them, and just a wide variety, online book discussions and book clubs, and connect my students through these opportunities, some through online, some through the print-based curriculum. So that's something that I think is not, it doesn't travel with the curriculum, that level of expertise and that level of enthusiasm as a teacher. I just recently was out in Carlick for a week with my students testing and got, frankly, snowed in for a while. And but it was a wonderful opportunity to work directly with the home teacher there, who is is not yet a paraprofessional, but hopes to become a paraprofessional and is very concerned about her students and appreciates the level of teacher support that we can provide. And the curriculum as a standalone curriculum doesn't do that.
Well, it sounds like that you've got the qualities of a very good teacher. And
thank you.
That's commendable. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think you're bright, educated, and obviously experienced. So I have two questions. not about logarithms, no. Or slide rules. Or what will happen if it goes away? What will happen to your students? And the second question is, what will happen to you?
Well, that's a good question. In Carlick, the families felt that it was not an option to go to the district's correspondence program. And they have strong reasons for that. So I don't know what will happen with all the students. I also have concerns that there will be additional increasing villages. That's not the only village where we take the whole group of students, that the state has closed the school because of declining numbers of students that we service. There are others. And I see that becoming a trend. I think that there are declining numbers
of
villages.
Help me out a little bit. Pick a student.
So where would they
pick
go?
Pick some students, and I guess you know them better than anybody knows them. They'll be there. There'll be no ACS. They will say, what
well,
am I going to
do?
Well,
I did
what
interview
will
this,
I do?
Okay, for example, the ninth grader in Carlick. He's considering Mount Edgecombe as an option, or possibly going back to Kodiak High School. Yes. He's not considering the correspondence program
excuse
or
me,
staying in his
excuse
village.
Me, Madam Chair, yes. Just for interrupting. We could go down 1,000 students this way.
That's one.
I agree.
And I agree with the point, but the point's already been made about 20 times in the last 45 minutes.
I
agree.
Actually not.
Yeah, I'm going to close the testimony now. Thank you for
right,
coming.
The only reason I'm a little impatient, I've got a 5:30 meeting, and I had to wait here 45 minutes for other people to show up. So, I'd like to at least let some discussion happen in the committee before we hear, because the testimony's been similar now for three
right. I agree. So let's end testimony. And I'm open for a motion or whatever.
I think we've all, asked our questions and got it. So I'd like to make the motion to move House Bill 174 out of committee with individual recommendations. And there's two attached fiscal notes.
Object.
With a full and noting full well the objection. And I'll give some rationale for it. I think it is a policy call. I think it's a tough one. Obviously, this is no disrespect to the teachers, to the system involved, to the history behind it. I think there's done some wonderful work. There's been good curriculum development. All the things I am not going to disagree with. I think the students have the need. And we in this committee have talked about that for the last 5 years that I've been here, that very thing, how to get that need met both at the district level and at the school level. We put designators on the individual school districts. And what I think the policy call we're asking here is, do we give those districts now the responsibility for doing this? Because what we've got here is we've got kind of a special group of people who are getting help from the state outside of the districts that the districts are not taking the responsibility for, and the state is. Well done, good taught, well taught, obviously some very bright and some very helpful work. I'm not going to argue with that. We've got 135,000 students in Alaska, and this represents about 1,080 or somewhere in that neighborhood. It's a special deal. The districts have been stepping up not only with cyber schools, but they've got their own curriculum for work with inner schools. One of the things that we're working on in this state is how to get those districts connected back with their students, whether it's with regard to excellence in education, the teacher certification, or culturally relevant issues that are particularly important to those areas. I think the policy call has been made by the governor. I'm going to support him. So I know that this is it's a tough one. It's a tough one for me because I, for one, like the education choices. So it's tough. But I don't mind putting it into the district context, since both of our designators and the No Child Left Behind is going to do that too. So if there's going to be need for relief later on, then I think the relief is going to have to be in the remedies that we're going to demand for the districts. So the state school board is going to be a part of that. The state board of education is going to be a part of that, and so is this committee and this legislature. So. I would request that you support the governor in this really Very hard move, but a good policy move in my view.
Okay, would you call the roll?
Representative Cogwell?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
No.
Representative Sisna?
No.
Representative Capsner?
No.
Representative Dono?
Yes.
Representative Wolf?
Yes.
Chair Wilson?
Yes. Okay, don't anyone leave without signing the, and we obviously aren't going to get any further, so we are adjourned.